in this handout, the first word you see is what? Precept. Because it's something very, very important. All of us have ideas, suggestions, and thoughts coming to us every single day. The devil gonna send you some. People gonna suggest stuff to you. Your environment gonna suggest thoughts to you. Your job might suggest thoughts to you. But it's up to you to handle those thoughts correctly. It is up to you. And I needed you to have this sheet because that's what the Lord directed me to do. Because sometimes you can hear it and not hear it. But if you handle it, it's a little bit different. It's got another venue of avenue that it can touch you, and you can go back and look at it and say, okay, this is what she meant. So precepts is simple information or ideas given or suggested. It's a collection of thoughts and ideas. That's all it is. That's what the word pre is not really a word. It's a stem that's put before a word. So the word is actually sept, C-E-P-T. Pre is a prefix that's put before, which means before. So before you had a thought, somebody was making suggestions to you. Somebody was giving you an idea. Somebody was giving you their thoughts. And this, you really need to notice, because a lot of you wrestle with stuff in your mind that you need to just dump because they're not valuable thoughts. And you don't have to put up with them. See, these are just things that come along because they're suggestions. That's all they are. It's not your thought. Here's when it becomes your thought, when it becomes a concept. What happens in a concept is this: when ideas or information taps your imagination and forms an image or a picture inside of you, that's when that thought or that statement has impacted you, when you can see it from the inside. If it's still not making sense to you on the inside, it's still a precept. But if you have received it and put it, and you can see a picture of how it can turn out, it's a concept. You see the difference? All right. So precept is an original idea. That's all it is, just a suggestion. And the concept is a conceived thought. It's a thought that I have taken on as my own name. I took what you said and made it my thought. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're supposed to do that. We have the ability to take on the thoughts of someone else. We're supposed to take on the mind of Christ and rewrite the picture that's on the inside. See, that's the process. I'm showing you as simple as I can the process of your thought life. And then your ideology is your believed thought. Now, concept is one you have taken on. You don't necessarily always believe everything you've taken on as a thought. For instance, you can sit right in the midst of church today, hear what I'm saying, agree with it, but not necessarily believe it. Because when it's a believed thought, you act on it. You're ready to go do what you believe. You're never going to do what you don't believe. Never get the two mixed up. So you can have a concept, and that's a conceived thought. You got it in your imagination, but you don't believe it. You can actually see it happening, but you don't believe it yet. And this is where the body of Christ gets stuck. Because we got a lot of pictures we think that we are to nurture, but we don't believe them, so they don't come to pass. Because believing requires action. See, taking on the thought don't mean I got to do a thing with it. But if I say I believe it, you cannot believe something you're not willing to do. So in order to get the maximum benefit out of the kingdom, it's going to be based on our revelation or our perception of the kingdom, how we see, how we take on the thoughts of the kingdom. You're going to get your greatest maximum output when you believe what the word says. Not just take it on as a thought, but believe it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Start with verse 1. This is Apostle Paul teaching us. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal? And walk as mere men," in one translation said, "and walk just as everyday people." See, you're supposed to live above because your thought life has to go above. But if your thought life stays right here with mere man, you're never going to experience the kingdom dimension of living. I want to live on the kingdom level, which means I have to determine in myself when thoughts come to me, I have to redirect them either to the trash bin or to my heart. Now, that's my decision. What I do with thoughts is my decision. But the thoughts I take on, they're either going to strengthen me or keep me carnal. Because that's all you can get with thoughts. They're either going to strengthen you or they're going to keep you carnal. And the more carnal thoughts you take on, the more carnal you are. So what is carnal? That means the more flesh-ruled you are. Everything is feel. I feel this and I feel that. And I think that and I think that. Nothing is I believe. You'll live and be ruled by your feelings. That's carnality. Because you're not supposed to be governed by your feelings. So Paul said, we got an issue here. He says, I can't teach you on the level that I should be able to teach you because your mind won't let you go there yet. So now I got to come back to the first principles of the word and teach you like a baby. Don't care if you think you've grown than you are. What we see says you still a baby. That's what he told them in essence. You haven't moved beyond being born again. Because it takes mind renewal to move to the next level. Look at Colossians 2:8. When you have it, say, "I have it." Colossians 2, verse 8. He says, "Now beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy." That's very key. Because a lot of philosophies out there today. "And vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." So there's a lot of stuff being pushed and taught out there. And I mean, you know, since people have been doing, I'm glad that people are getting out and they're speaking out on Instagram, Facebook, and stuff like that. But that ain't if that's not who you are every day, you need to cut that Instagram account out. Because you're just doing it to be seen. You're doing it to be liked. Because if that ain't who you are on the inside, you need to quit it because it's going to come back and bite you in the butt. Because in your crisis, you ain't going to know what to do. And people are going to be expecting you to be this champion with all the words you putting out there with people. You saying a lot of nice words to people. I mean, I go on Instagram and I'm going like, "Oh, Jesus, girl, you got a whole Bible you saying over there. What you doing? Is that who you are? Or you think it's popular just to say," and it's good, they're saying good stuff, don't get me wrong. what they're saying is not exactly wrong. Some is inaccurate, but it's not because they don't have a good intent. But is that who they are? Or am I seeing a script read by a person that's not living the script? That means you're an actor or an actress. You know, they play roles that it's not them. That's what actors do. He says, don't let anybody spoil your faith. Don't let anybody contaminate your faith with philosophies. Sitting down and telling you stuff, you know, that's one thing about going to a funeral. You're going to hear a whole lot of philosophies. And you be saying to yourself, Lord, take me out of this place. Because you be ready to have a breakdown. I'm not breakdown the way you think. I'm ready to break out my Bible. And you know, when they go to funerals, most people don't take a Bible, right? They ain't coming to hear no word. They're coming to be emotionalized. I just made up that if it's not in the dictionary, you can copy it. They're coming for a feeling. They ain't coming to hear no word. That's why the pastor's the eulogy is always at the end. And give him 20 minutes to say something. When that should be at the top of the page. You got a room full of a bunch of heathens and you put the word last. But that's what they always do in funerals. And I'm not coming against anybody, but that's the way most funerals run. Y'all know you've been to them. Because y'all not coming to hear no word. You coming to hear a song and look at how everybody look and see how the body dress. You're not coming to hear no word at the possibility that somebody could get saved in there. And even though altar calls are presented, people didn't come ready because there wasn't enough word to prep them. Ooh, Jesus. Now, y'all, you see, but it said don't let nobody. See, these are philosophies that people live with. I'm going to write out my eulogy so my kids can't nobody mess it up. Just read the paper. And it's going to be an hour sermon. And I want you to read it first. If I should leave before Jesus come back, I want you to read it first and put all the other stuff at the end. Because I want somebody to get born again. That may never come back to church again from that environment. You don't know who you might see at a funeral. Amen? But it says, don't let somebody spoil your faith and your joy with their philosophies, their wrong and shallow answers built on men's thoughts and ideas instead of on what Christ has said. Don't let your religious upbringing cancel out what Christ has said. We can get so locked into our religion, I guess you can call them dogmas or their doctrinal beliefs. Don't have nothing to do with what Christ said. Since when you wearing stockings or not wearing stockings is Bible. But they made a whole doctrine out of it. And in some places, you better not go into church as a woman with your head uncovered. You know you're a rank sinner. And I'm going like, that's not in the Bible. They took a scripture out of context and made it so that women had to wear hats forever. Now, if you want to wear a hat, praise the Lord. I ain't got nothing against a hat. Don't shoot me no bad emails and all that crazy stuff. That's your choice, but let it be your choice. There's no scripture that says you got to wear a hat. We had a lady to leave our church because she thought I was out of the will of God by not wearing a hat. And when I wore a hat, then, you know, I'm going like, well, what's the problem? I was wearing hats back then, but it just went every service. I'm not wearing a hat on Wednesday night. But see, y'all laughing. But these are people's philosophies that infiltrate the body of Christ. And if you are not careful, you're going to take on that stupid stuff. I mean, I'm listening to people at the funeral say, well, the family got to sit on the left and the visitors got to sit on the right. Who said so? When did that become doctrine? That you got to sit on a certain side of the room. They say on the left you leave and on the right you coming in. I'm going like, explain that to me. But that's religious. You ain't finding that in the Bible. But that's a philosophy that's been handed down in churches. And churches still doing it. I know. Tapping y'all ain't I know. But Jesus said through the Apostle Paul, don't let somebody spoil your faith. Because these things are creeping, believe it or not, and they will impact your ability to believe. Now the word beware means to be alert to the danger of something. Be conscious of, have knowledge of. And the word spoil means to diminish or destroy the value or quality of, to impair, to damage, to rob one of something. So to spoil means I got to devalue the word to keep that philosophy. I got to make the word lower than my philosophy. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked together. But how many of you know Christians are marrying sinners all the time believing, I'm going to get them born again, right? Okay, you preach that long enough, you convince yourself you're going to go do it. And then when you go through hell and high waters and you have trouble on top of trouble, now what you're going to do, you're going to try to explain away. Now you got to hide out. Because you believe that mess because you were too ready. I ain't going to say what I would start to say. You were too ready. Your philosophy was, if I don't get married by the time I'm 30, I'm desperate. See, that's really the philosophy that was pushing you. I'm getting older. I need to be married. I'm challenging y'all philosophies. This is why the body of Christ has been messed up. Because our philosophies, they work against the word of God. And you sit in a good word church, you can't get it to work, but you keep trying to do your philosophy. You can't combine the two in the kingdom. You had to get rid of when Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't blend them. You can't blend righteous thoughts with unrighteous thoughts. They're going to war against one another. And Jesus, through Apostle Paul, said, don't let anybody spoil your faith and joy with their philosophies, with their wrong and shallow answers. I had some shallow answers given to me when I first got born again. And I mean, you know, you had to fight against it like it's like a orange ruffet. You ever had orange ruffet fish? You ain't had fish till you had orange ruffet. Now they're on the endangered species, but when they weren't, my children can tell you, that was the fish of the day. But it's one of the sweetest piece of fish you can ever eat in your mouth. But you know why? Because it has to swim upstream, and you cannot farm raise it. It has to have pure water flowing up. It's designed to fight against the current, and it keeps it clean. But it's a good fish. So you have to fight against the current of other people's philosophies because it'll pull you in. This is why when you go in environments, you got to be the light. And not the smutty bub. You know what I'm talking about? You the old bubs, they get black on the top when you use them for a while. I call them a smutty bulb. And the light wouldn't permeate through them. I can't stand those little white bulbs, the little soft bulbs. What's that stuff they call it? Joe, what they put in the houses most time? Like these lights, most of the lights up in here is called fluorescent. They're terrible on your eyes. I don't like fluorescent light. Give me light. If I want ambiance, I'm going to put a lamp in my room for ambiance. I want light where I can see. I don't need a fluorescent light that's almost light. And you trying to read by that stuff, your eyes are going to go bad. That was just a freebie. Look at John 10:10. See, the devil got one purpose. He got one goal, rather. And he'll distract your mind. He'll distract you with philosophies, with ideas and suggestions. So look at this. It said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, so that's his whole goal. That's his OMO. I don't care how he dress it up, what he says to get you involved in it, you got to recognize that he's a thief and a liar. And the whole goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came, or I am come, that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly. So now, which one of these thoughts have you accepted and believed? Because it's two train of thoughts. One is going to produce death. The other going to produce life. Life abundantly. Which one you want? Now, I know you're saying I want life abundantly. That's what we say up front. But what do you believe? What are you falling through and on? Because your action says, I really believe in death. Because I hear more of the devil words than I do God words. People that don't get in the word often, they struggle with this more than anybody else I know. You got to become a word person. So based on what we just read, the problem is our perception or our belief. Say belief. Or you can even say it this way, our lack of belief concerning the word of God. Say this after me. Everything I believe started as a precept. I am giving you precepts today. Now it's up to you to receive or to reject. That's the one thing I cannot do for you. I cannot believe for you. So we already told you precept is the thought or the idea before a thought is ever formed. This is information being deposited into you. And then we told you concept is what? Read it on your paper. When ideas and information taps your imagination and forms an image or a picture inside of you, now you got something to work with. But you still have to move to the next level, and that's believe it. In order for the picture to manifest, you must believe the picture. Because in believing, you're going to do what? You're going to have some action. Now, here's the problem that we see a lot of times is, what happens if the ideas and suggestions you have collected are wrong? So when your ideas or your ideology, because that's what happens, ideology is a believed thought. That's the one I'm ready to live and move on. I'm acting on this one. That's what ideology is. It's simply a believed thought, because that's where you're willing to live every day. Say every day. Not just Sunday and Wednesday. This is where you're willing to believe, where you live every single day of your life. That's your ideology. How you live every day is your ideology. Because that's your belief system. Your ideology is your belief system. And that's how you live and function every single day. That's where your results are coming from, not your Sunday and Wednesday activity. So we have a problem in church because a lot of people, ideology is wrong when it comes to God. Now, theology means my beliefs about God. It is exclusive kind of what I really believe about God. Do I really believe that Jesus came and died in my place and he was resurrected from the dead? Now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Do I really, have I really embraced that? Or do I believe that there is, you know, it could possibly be another way? Am I still wrestling with his death, burial, and resurrection? How do I believe about God? What do I think about God? Do I really believe God made earth? Do I believe an explosion took place in space and created everything? If you believe that, I got a bridge I want to sail you. Now, here's what philosophy is. It is a systematic way of thinking. It's called your belief system. It's your way of thinking. Say, my way of thinking. You know, some people say, that's just the way I think. Well, you're telling on yourself. Especially if I'm standing there trying to get you and trying to convince you of what the word said. I was sitting in a situation and where my mother, you know, we was all gathered together, and I made the comment. I said, well, mama's up now with the cloud of witnesses cheering us on, and a couple of them started laughing. And I'm going, what you laughing at? Well, you said a cloud of witness. I said, you say? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But okay, you haven't read Hebrews 12:1 then. Shut them down for about 15 minutes. That's what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to go in and let people laugh at what you say when it comes to your ideas about God. No, I closed it down. Because, see, I could back it up with the word. Because Hebrews 12:1 talks about a cloud of witnesses, those who have gone on before us, they're actually cheering us on to our end. If you don't like that one, too bad, too sad. But that's the way it is. But see, unless we begin to express our beliefs about God, the world gonna think you believe like them when it comes to God. That there are many roads to God. No, it's not. It ain't but one way. It's called Jesus. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the way. I am the life. There is no other way to get to the Father except through me. But if you think there's a possibility, well, you know, they Muslim, but they believe, no, they don't believe God like the word says. You talk to one of them, they don't believe about Jesus the way you say you believe about Jesus. You can't agree with their doctrine. All you can say to, you know what, you know, hey, one day I'm praying that one day you come into the light of the word. Stop agreeing with all these doctrines of people. You'll never get them born again trying to compromise. Because your silence is an agreement. I know what I did. Do I believe I invoked a couple of them to go look up Hebrews 12:1? If that was, you know, because they are born again, they say they are, you know, hey, praise the Lord. But you ain't going to make fun of what I say when I know I'm talking true. Because I ain't going to fall apart like that. You ain't going to get me in that environment and think I'm going to fall apart. Forget it. Mm-mm. Not going to work. Why? Because that ain't my philosophy. I didn't say I didn't cry because I miss my mama. But I know where she is. And I told them, I said, she ain't lost. We didn't lose her. Do you know where she went? Well, then she ain't lost. Lost people go to hell. She ain't lost. So we didn't lose mama. She just moved to heaven. And you see how the difference that'll bring in an environment when you stop agreeing with people, philosophies that go against the word of God? You bring light. It'll lift a heavy burden. When truth is present. So philosophy is a systematic way of thinking, your way of thinking, your mentality. And you feed everything through this belief system. Everything you believe, everything you handle, touch, say, it goes through your belief system. You interpret everything you see, everything you hear through this system. And from this system, called your philosophy or your belief system, you live your life. And whatever comes out of this system is your lifestyle or your culture. It shouldn't be any failing Christians when we got this powerful word. I'm getting ready to close in a minute. We need to dump and lose that struggle mentality. How long are you going to have that slavery mindset? How long are you going to have it as though you've been deprived of something because you got black skin? How long are you going to uphold that lie? You ain't been deprived of nothing. And what our ancestors went through, they went through it, overcame, and moved on. You still dragging it like it was yesterday for you. They built fortunes. They prospered because they didn't believe that was them. They was trapped in a situation, but they didn't accept that as their way of living. And those that did, they stayed in slavery. But those that believed differently, they went out and became entrepreneurs, built schools, started businesses, because they didn't see themselves as a slave. But this generation have taken on the mindset as though we've been victimized. So as long as I can keep teaching you the victim mentality, I'm due something, I'm owed something. You're supposed to do something for me. You will never progress. And I can come back in 20 years and you're going to still be a victim. And you still won't have any more rights than you got right now. You might as well take this word and overcome. Forget that you're black. Forget that you're white. You're a child of God. That gives you rights and privileges that the world can't have. I don't care what color they are. The kingdom is exclusive to the children of God. And it's always a cut above. See, that's my philosophy. I'm not reaching down into my blackness. I know I was born black. I can't change the color of my skin, but I can change the way I think. See, that thought is designed. That's a philosophy that's been propagated, and they don't need it until they need your vote. When the voting is over, your color don't matter, never did. When you gonna wake up and say they've been using us? And say, I have every right to prosper. You're in a nation that is designed to help you to prosper. It's more liberty here than it's been in any nation that we have ever known. And we're getting ready to turn it over to the enemy if we're not careful. If the church don't rise up and stop being a victim. The church is the biggest victim. Because we taught that, not us, but a lot of churches teach victim mentality. But they don't like you because you're black. They don't like you because they just don't like you. It might be something about you that you don't know that everybody else may not like. They just ain't told you yet. That person happened to tell it to you. And they could be prejudiced. And since when did that stop our God? I worked in places where I knew there was racism. But God promoted me, not because I was stuck in a victim mode either. He didn't promote me because I felt like I was doing it because I'm black and you coming against me. No, I had one supervisor that hated my guts. But in the end, guess what? When she got sick, guess who she asked to pray for her? Me, the black little girl that she tried to run in the ground. See, you got to fight upstream. Like the orange ruffian. You got to learn how to resist the philosophies of people. Because they'll pull you downstream, get you all dirted up, and you'll die. See, orange rough, they'll die in shallow water. Because they're not designed to live out like that. Man, you need to study that, because it's a beautiful fish. Now, that's the only fish I really talk about besides trout. Because, you know, I like me a trout. I like my orange rough. I eat flounder. Very few fish that I eat, but I don't like tilapia. I eat it on occasion, but I really don't like it. Don't like catfish. So if you cook fish, I ain't eat no catfish. Don't get no problem because I ate it before, but I just stopped liking it. I became selective what I want to eat. And I mean, you eat catfish, eat the catfish. I ain't gonna beat you up because you like catfish. I say I don't like catfish. See, already people get offended because I say I don't like catfish. You ain't got no business because that ain't your philosophy. You like catfish. That's your philosophy. That's the way you think. And you ain't gonna go to hell eating catfish. And I ain't gonna go to hell not eating catfish. It's a preference. Woo. But I refuse to be put in a box and put my God in a box. I'm ready to take the limits off of God. I'm ready to take the limits. Now, in closing, let me say this to you. Your philosophy forms your mentality, and your mentality produces your attitude. Your attitude is the visible expression of your belief system. I say it again. Your philosophy forms your mentality, and your mentality produces your attitude. Your attitude is the visible expression of your belief system. How you act and respond, I mean, you get quick temper people because something inside of you is messed up in your belief system. The Bible says, be slow to speak, quick to hear. Be slow to anger. Now, which one of them are you going to believe? Well, I got a quick temper. Well, you keep saying that, you're going to keep having a quick temper. That's your philosophy. Because somebody convinced you that it was all right to have a quick temper. And the Bible says it's not. Now, which one are you going to believe? Mm-hmm. So, therefore, we can say, we have become a product of ideas, suggestions, and thoughts we have collected over our lifetime. The person you are sitting in this chair or online today is because of the thoughts, ideas, and suggestions you believed. And they don't necessarily have to be right. And if you don't like your circumstance, you need to get a new belief system. Because it won't change as long as you hold fast to the one you have. Because if it's not working, it's not working. Why keep believing something that's not working? Did you learn anything this morning? Come on, stand to your feet.